That's pretty awesome. Hey, Minions Unleashed, right? How many people like Minions? Hey, what about the purple Minion, though? The purple Minion. I have known people like that. Oh, my goodness. Let me introduce myself. I'm Pastor Bobby Armstrong. Hi. How many people have I picked on in this room? One, two, three, four, five, six, seven. Oh, I picked on a bunch of y'all. Praise the Lord. It's good to see the fruit, and you actually showed up. You didn't know I was coming, though, did you? Praise the Lord. Well, I am Pastor Bobby Armstrong. I've been with the church longer than y'all have been on this world, about 18 years. That is a long time, isn't it? But I'm the guy that you never see. I'm the confidential guy that keeps everything quiet. I'm over all of the benevolence. I'm over all the men's ministry. Say men. Okay. Men's ministry. And then there's a new announcement. You know, today I'm over all of the outreach in the church. So you're going to get to see a different view of what that looks like accordingly to Bobby Armstrong. Pastor Terry and George have a great vision for outreach because you are a part of outreach, aren't you? How many people have been and have been involved in any kind of outreach? Raise your hand. Awesome. Those, you're individuals that are trying to step out, right? You're trying to see a change and a move in someone's life, right? But you really need to move in your own. When you look at religion and tradition, they've come up with a lot of different ways to do outreach. Man, we used to knock on doors. We'd give people tracts. I've sat outside. You know, what do the Moonies do? The Moonies give roses. They hand roses. They still do that today. They knock on and they give various things. I've given out shoes. I've showed up across from Travis Avenue Baptist Church right there on, where is it at? Yes, Berry Street. Showed up there and I had a whole truckload full of diapers. You should have seen the people that showed up when you have a truckload full of diapers. They just came out of the woodwork, you would think. And you could tell them about Jesus. Now, y'all don't need any of those things, do you? No, okay, praise the Lord. Let me tell you about Christianity. Are there any born-again Christians in the house? Christianity is the only belief system that claims that the Creator actually lives inside the believer. That's what makes us different from everyone else. We believe that that God lives on the inside. By God living on the inside of us, wow, that makes you like, awesome. Because can you praise the Lord in the shower? Yes. Okay. Can you praise the Lord on the football field? Can you praise the Lord when you're getting chewed out? Yeah. You can. You can. Can you praise the Lord and keep your hands down like this? Yes. Because you can be saying on the inside, Lord, I just praise you. I just love you as my mother's chewing me out. You can praise the Lord because he's right there. He's listening to you. And the thing is, in the Word of Faith camp, we call that God inside-minded, where you actually recognize that God lives on the inside. And by God living on the inside, wow, there's so many things you can do. Do you know that the Lord can speak to you? Did you know that? You know, there's many church circles that if you talked about God speaking to you, it would clear out the room. I'm telling you. If you talked about that, I talk to God, does God listen to you? If God listens to you, that would clear out a room too, because some people don't know. Sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and somebody says he says like maybe. And I thought, boy, that's confusing. How about if you have a relationship? Can you have a personal relationship with this living God? That's called God inside-minded, and it makes you totally different than the majority of the body of Christ. Now, we all believe that God lives on the inside, but that personal relationship and that interaction. Now, being God lives so close to us, how do we deal with this culture we live in? Because our culture is affecting us. And has anybody been affected by what you've listened to? Okay. Have you been affected by what you see other individuals do? Yes. Now, what's interesting about that is, being your God inside-minded, this outside force is affecting your worldview. That doesn't make any sense, does it, when the Creator lives on the inside, but an individual can say one thing to you and it can destroy your life. That makes no sense, does it? Not in the light of the Creator on the inside. So what does Satan do to you? Satan deceives us that we don't know who we are in Him, in Christ, that He lives in the house. You know, you can say, the preacher's in the house. Well, I can also say, the Lord is in the house. He will help me and give me peace. When you're feeling turmoil from a bad relationship, you can instantly speak, peace is in the house. Because who's in there? The Lord your God. You can call upon, those that call upon the name of the Lord shall do what? Be saved. Well, you can also speak peace into your own life in the midst of turmoil and strife, right? It can happen like that. But the outside influences, this outside force that wants you to follow it, it wants you to emulate it. Isn't it amazing that something can happen? In 2 years, they can start doing some style fad, and you'll see it, think it's cool, and you'll be emulating it. And it was a force from the outside that caused you to react that way. Not all things you see in the world are good for you, right? There isn't. Let me ask you a question about outreach. Give me an outreach. Just throw a word out, like I'm going to throw the first one. Outreach, first thing I think of is missions. Give me another word. Church? Nursing homes? People? Countries? Okay? Kids? Anything over here? Y'all live? Love. Okay. Okay. Giving. That's a good one. Money. Great tool, isn't it? Influence. And what's the motivator for the right type of giving? Love. That's why we do it, right? That's the main motivation for why all those things you said were correct. But those are the traditional ways that we look at outreach. It can come from how you were raised, maybe the church you belong to. This current church said, well, this is just how we've always done it. Well, guess what? God is doing a new thing, isn't He? And He's going to do a new thing in you. We're at the end of this talk, speech, proclamation, whatever you want to call it. I believe God is going to speak to y'all tonight. And He's going to give you direction on how you can outreach to an individual. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to James 2. James 2, we're going to go James 2, 17 through 20 and 26. New Living Translation. So you see, faith by itself isn't enough unless it produces good deeds. It is dead and useless. Now, someone may argue, some people have faith, others have good deeds. But I say, how can you show me your faith if you don't have good deeds? I will show you my faith by my good deeds. You say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even demons believe this, and they may tremble in terror. How foolish. Can't you see that faith without good deeds is useless? Just as the body is dead without breath, so as faith is dead without good works. Anybody said amen? It's the truth. Faith without works is dead. You can call yourself a spirit-filled believer, but when you give your sister a cussing, guess what? Faith without works was dead at that moment. That was just really useless. Oh, I'm going to outreach tonight, Mama. Well, did you accomplish the tasks I asked you? Well, no. How's that going to help your anointing that night? Oh, the Lord's going to help me because those people are in great need and I'm God's man of faith and power going to show up. Well, don't you want God's best for them? Well, that's what we need right now. In the word of faith, our primary point, this is the area that we can build ourselves up with, is we're driven by our spirit, first of all. We're driven by a lot of our academic skills. And we like to say here, we master our mouth. Right? We master our mouth. If you can master your mouth, you can accomplish a lot, right? How many people have put their foot in their mouth? Woo! And what was the benefit? Heather, what was the benefit? What did you get out of the deal? Strife. Oh, there's her mother back there. Hey, you got that? Anybody else put their foot in their mouth that I can pick on? Christopher, how about you? Yeah. You got that? Ryan Weeder, I know you. You put your foot in your mouth. Oh, my goodness. We won't talk about that. And Noah, we know you too. Your mother could tell us stories, but thank God she's not here, right? Yeah, praise the Lord. Oh, God is good. But let me tell you about one thing that you can do to change this. 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6. Is there a tissue box? No, I'm not crying, but I want to show you what to do with the tissue box. Anybody got a tissue box? Hey, the tissue boxes are coming. Casting down imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. You think to yourself, this is weird language. Has anybody taken literature in this room? Is there not some unique languages out there? Thank you. There is some different languages, right? And they say a lot of things that don't, you know, you're like, where do they come from? But the last part, it says, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedient when your obedience is fulfilled. What that's saying to us is, when you get tired of living the life that you've got because your mouth has been running out of control, and you see the truth that if you'll change what you say, life will change for you. If you see the benefits you've missed, you have to have the desire and the ability to change where you can take that stuff back. When you want that good life back, it will change by you changing, by you adjusting. Now, how close is the Lord? Right here, isn't it? Here, I'll give you this is kind of weird, but watch this. Blow in your hand. Put your hand in front of your face, blow in it. You feel that? That's how close the Lord is. He's right there anytime you want to call upon him. He'll help you. Now, outreach, the opposite of outreach is inreach. That means you're so involved and you're dealing with so many issues at hand that you have been trying to fix all these issues in your life. Anybody have any issues in their life? Have you ever had issues in your life? Very few, I see. You know, what's a good thing about being over counseling at the church? I know all kinds of issues in the church, y'all. when I come to church sometimes, I just look at the ceiling so nobody thinks I'm thinking about them. Because I have people that will come up to me and they say, how are you doing? I'm doing fine. Did you know we've done blah, 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 blah? I said, I have no idea, ma'am. I just came to church to listen to Pastor George. have no clue. But when you know these things, I know that there's issues. Issues come from the flesh, don't they? And what I pointed out to y'all tonight is the Lord is so close to you. He'll direct you. And this world is trying to pull you off target. They're trying to put you into a place where you don't know that God is so close, but he is. You know, it doesn't matter what issues that you have and that you're going through tonight. The Lord is so close to you that all you have to do is listen to him. Now, I know lots of people. Now, listening is, hearing the voice of the Lord is not determining on whether you speak in tongues or not. I know a lot of people that pray in tongues that still sin, right? How many people pray in tongues and didn't hear the voice of the Lord? I mean, you just, it's amazing how many misguided tongue-talking people I know. And I can say that for truth. So hearing the voice of the Lord has never been contingent upon the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But what happens is hearing the voice of the Lord will help you. Being filled with the Holy Ghost will help you in your sensitivity, won't it? Praying the Holy Ghost, when the devil's lying to you, What happens when you pray and pray, Jesse? What happens? Yeah, you. What happens when you pray in the Holy Ghost? Yes, she just said she starts thinking about him. It'll help put your focus on. So tonight, if there's ever been opportunity for you to be filled with the Holy Ghost, we've got prayer ministers and individuals in the next few minutes, even at the end. If you want to know God through that aspect of the Holy Spirit, tonight is the night for you. It's a simple thing that you cannot mess up. Like the donkey. You know, we heard about the donkey, right? The donkey sermon. What's the new name for this sermon? The donkey sermon, right? You know, have you ever seen a Holy Ghost-filled donkey? Well, yeah, don't get cynical now. I could hear some people thinking. But the thing you need to do is God can use anything or anybody, and he wants to fill you with the Holy Ghost tonight. It belongs to you. Now, I have a wonderful opportunity tonight to see that happen, but I've got some people in this room being over the men's ministry. Y'all know the Abrams? There's a whole bunch of them, isn't it? Galen Elizabeth Abrams, I see them over here. They're awesome. They can help you get filled with the Spirit that fast and do it at the drop of the hat. I've seen them do that. Y'all have to be open for that and be willing. So I've opened up this opportunity for you to start thinking about the infilling of the Holy Ghost. But the one thing I want you to know about the outreach, when you work on the inreach and you get the stuff fixed, you know, you can get the stuff fixed. Now, how do you get stuff fixed in your life? How do you get rid of sin? Hammer. Did you say repent? You said repent. Have you ever done that before?
Yeah.
Are you good at it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, you're a good boy. Yeah, I know his daddy. But, you know, repentance. But, you know, all you have to do is you can, I always ask forgiveness. But I just accept my forgiveness. All I have to do is lift a hand and accept it. Because it's already been given. You were cleansed by the blood of the Lamb, right? So when you fall short and you know on the inside, it's not something you necessarily have to work for. You can just reach a hand up and say, I receive that. Anybody ever received healing? Did you have to work for it? Did you have to work for your salvation? Why would you have to work for your forgiveness? And you don't need to tell people they have to work for that. That's an easy thing to receive because the blood is enough, right? So what we're going to do is we're going to stand up with me, please. Musicians, please step on up. Outreach. Y'all threw out all kinds of stuff that you want to do. For our church, you know, what is our mission statement? Anybody know it? Start saying it now. Yes, ma'am. That's very close. Yes, ma'am. We're disciple. We're to take a group of people. Disciple them intensely. In what? The Word. To help them live an uncommon faith. Help them live what? Victoriously. Well, you know, you won't have anybody to disciple if you don't have outreach. So you need to start thinking about and opening yourself up and getting these things on the inside settled. When you settle the things on the inside, the Lord will speak to you like they do our pastors when they say, wow, the Lord's just moved on me to buy that person and take a gas. Or the Lord's just moved on me, we're going to buy that guy's Starbucks drink. In a youth group, one of the hardest things is for you seniors to actually minister to your juniors. But that's a form of outreach. And when you get your insides fixed, you'll be able to step out and see the kids that are under the banisters, the ones that are lost, the ones that feel alone. You'll be able to reach out and take care of the hurting people and where they're at. When you're fixed. Are you ready to get fixed? Are you ready for the Lord to make a change in your life? Lift your hand up to heaven and say this with me. In Jesus' name, I receive forgiveness. I receive your goodness. I ask you to fill me with your Spirit, leading me, guiding me, directing me. Fill my mouth with good things. I commit my tongue to you. I commit my life to you. In Jesus' name, I pray this, I believe this, and I receive it. Amen. Amen.